This is Truth Quest with Melody, and this is KATN-LPFM Radio, 106.9, Salida, Colorado. In the studio with me, I've got a new person, William Wallace, who's here being in training. And my co-host tonight is Katie O'Brien. Again, this is community-supported radio, and we're streamed on the Internet at khen.org. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs of Truth Quest with Melody, they're available at www.givemesometruth.info or linked from the khen.org website. Our guest tonight is Freeman from Freeman Perspective, and his website is freemanperspective.blogspot.com.
FreemanTV.com.
Oh, okay. And that'll go right there, right to it then. Okay. And Freeman, while we're at it, and since I'm totally thrown off, out of kilter again, why don't we just go ahead and let you introduce yourself so that we can, we're having Freeman back again tonight, and we had a great interview before, and then Freeman's come out with a bunch of new information, but I'm going to let him explain a little bit about his past for our new listeners, and then bring Katie in, and William will be here listening because I've got somebody in here just kind of learning the ropes. So go ahead.
Well, Melody, I know your pain. it wasn't simply enough to have a story to tell, to have this script that I've been unfolding for the last decade about global politics coupled with the occult. But I also had to learn how to become a TV producer and run all those silly buttons in a communal TV studio. And I know exactly what you mean about that one button. Oh, I remember frantic moments 5 minutes before airtime.
You know, after 2.5 years of doing this,
every week there was something new. It didn't matter. It did not matter. But that's what I did. I've wandered this earth for quite a long time, getting to know a lot of the humanity wandering this planet, and along the way learning this story and history of the Illuminati, the secret culture creators of our world, and along that way discovering my own familiar roots, my family's connections to this movement, my father being a worshipful master of the Freemasonic Lodge, and chasing flying saucers, building nukes, and being on killer submarines with ex-presidents. This was my dad. But I, of course, didn't know any of this at the time when I was studying it. It was only after I started to uncover things that I uncovered my dad's connections, and then he didn't tell me much at all, honestly. But as strange as my life was, it was filled with miracles. It guided me left and right, and everywhere I seemed to just need to be, constantly running into the perfect person at the perfect moment. And it led me to a tale to tell, to the point where I had then made predictions about the downfall of America using Kabbalistic symbols to show the ritual nature of our government actions. And this led me to speaking about this in many areas. And at one day in Austin, Texas, I ended up speaking out at a conference. Well, it was just a lecture by a man named George Green, who is an ex-Bilderberger that went out to meet the Palladians staying with a farmer named Billy Meyer in Switzerland.
George Green was an ex-Bilderberger, huh? I didn't know
that. So he said.
Oh, okay.
He turned his back on their deep underground military base and went to meet the Palladians, and now publishes their books, the Handbook for the New Paradigm. And so he was giving out these books at the lecture, and in a break I started to tell my tale and all that I knew about the meaning of W, shock and awe, and the use of the numbers like 9/11. And a city council member at the lecture is like, "You need a TV show." And I agreed to do it, and the rest was history. It took off right away. I opened with corporate logos and their occult meanings, and then got into the goddess Columbia. There's not many experts out there on her, and I felt, well, perhaps I'm the only one. And then went on further to expose HAARP and space-based weaponry, occult, mind control of Disney, Anna Nicole Britney, and Mind Control was another film. And then I worked with Tex Mars on Codex Magica and the hand signs and gestures of the Illuminati. And now my latest, Return of the Nephilim, all about the ancient astronaut hypothesis. And then now Obama cloning in the coming space war is my latest work.
So how did you get received by getting into these symbology?
Well, you know, back in Y2K, I'm telling people about technology that they're not ready to understand. The use of ionospheric heaters to radiate radio frequencies back to the Earth, causing earthquakes and floods. And I'm discussing this in at a Kansas university, trying to show the people these occult natures. And I'm expressing to them that the headline on the front page of USA Today, December of 1999, said, "Muslims stop the Freemasons from capping the Great Pyramid with gold." And and I'm trying to establish this fact with the people. I'm actually hanging out in the cafeteria, giving them information that they would hang around and read, but none would start to recognize the full nature of this. And by even mentioning that FEMA and the Department of Defense were telling us to have 3 days of food in case the computer meltdown occurred, they expected me to be in some sort of bunker hiding away because I was bringing them this knowledge. So you get a lot of, I lost the word there, dissociative type identity, because here it is right in people's world. You know, it's on the front page of the USA Today. Milosevic accuses U.S. of using HAARP technologies to create earthquakes and floods. Muslims stop the Freemasons from capping the Great Pyramid with gold. And then they have this high ritual throughout every nation in the Y2K ceremony, and that's what my first film outlines, is the occult nature and the meaning behind burning the Thames to the speed of the sun in all of the different Y2K ritual that was performed until Bill Clinton announcing it as a rising sun and saying that our children were ready.
So where do you think the computer meltdown tied into this one?
Well, that was a curious thing, because we all knew that they had this knowledge since 1974 that the counterclocks only had two digits and not four, and therefore 2000 was going to be a problem. This was known as early as 1974, but no one made any difference and tried to change anything. So what we need to consider, what they got out, who bonos, right, key bono, we're looking at that it costs them up to or over $10 a line to change each one of the lines or to go through the lines of code within their computers. And the Department of Defense had 358 billion lines of code in one sector. And this was just the Department of Defense. So you imagine that's times 10, $10 for every line. And then you add to this the need for the command central, this deep underground military base where all the resources of the world would be routed through, including the stock market, which I thought was very curious when they shut the stock market down after 9/11, because I still remembered Y2K and them building command central, and I thought that was the whole point. Why did we spend billions of dollars on this if you're not going to use it? Or was there another Rothschild coup going on after 9/11 because these circuits were still connected and everyone had forgotten? But that was the first announcement of a, open, deep underground military base in an undisclosed location. So there was many things that, many people that profited with Y2K. But why did this, did the whole system seem to shut down? When we're looking at this picture, you see, you have to get all the way back, because what we're looking at is an Illuminati brotherhood that has their roots in, say, Atlantis, in the ancient civilizations of America. So when you
okay, let me do one thing. Let me do one thing before you get
sure.
further. So
sure.
I'm going to say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and my guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. But at the same time, I want to say that I hope people understand my whole idea is with this program is for people to stretch their minds, and I think this is one of the reasons what I like about Freeman is he does do that.
Yeah. What always gets me is it's always on the front page of the news. It's, I'm not speaking outlandishly at all.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the first I'd ever heard that Milosevic had ever said anything about the weather. I mean, we're just now trying to get people acquainted to that whole scenario about how the weather control and that Colorado has a Department of Weather Control and that there's a relationship there. And yet you're telling me that, boy, I was really slow in learning myself.
Yeah, there's a lot of catching up needed to be done. I say if you're only on chemtrails, you know, you got a little ways further to run, because it gets very strange, you know? And so if you don't start from the beginning, of course, I had an awakening like everyone else. I started with Oklahoma City and Waco and was led through that whole scenario, through the government, up into then mind control, and then into the occult and the idea of the Illuminati and what I now call sorcerers, who are in charge of our planet using nefarious means to keep us mind-controlled and following their script, to the point that I said after W, the next president would not be an American, because you can outline the script. And I have predicted events from Bill Clinton up to today, and I have not been wrong. I was saying earlier to Katie, I feel a little bit like Cassandra, because I've predicted the global meltdown for the day 10/13 for the banking crisis on Alex Jones and on numerous other shows for 2 years. I discussed it. Okay. And then it happened, and I'm waiting for a little bit of attention, and no one noticed. Because no one noticed 10/13. No one, it wasn't explosive. You know, this was the day that Bernanke brought in the 9 CEOs of the banks into signed the document to sign all the assets over, and that's when everything crashed and we had to go into bailouts and everything else. He was against this document just prior to 10/13. But on 10/13, strangely, the news reported he forced everyone to sign this. This was the very day I had predicted for 2 years and covered over numerous radio shows to say this will be the next 9/11. And next thing I know, the headline says 10/13 bigger than 9/11. I have it published on my website.
Okay, what you're saying is that the things that you say that even sound like they're way out, you know, purporting things that people aren't connecting, there really are connections. There's literal connections. And when you mention Waco and did you say Ruby Ridge too, or
well,
Oklahoma City?
I'm familiar with Ruby Ridge.
Okay,
as
it's
well.
More Oklahoma City.
I've met Randy Weaver actually.
Oh, okay. Then what were the two events that you were talking about when you
Oklahoma
first
Oklahoma City and Waco? Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I have heard terms where those events were symbolic in how they took place. And are you aware of that? Have you heard?
Not completely, no, because I wasn't on that level of thinking at that time.
Okay.
But I did know that Tim McVeigh came from Elohim City, which was a flag in my ancient astronauts. But other than that, I hadn't really looked into the characteristics of those two.
So in other words, a lot of things that seem like they're just accidental incidents in our current lifetime actually have more orchestration taking place than we even realize.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then the other thing, I'm still having a hard time trying to figure, because I think I've heard someone else, and I can't place who it is at this point, explain the significance of the computer scenario tied in with the 2000 event. And I would kind of like to hear you do a little bit more of the symbolism that was tied to 2000.
Well, it was very intriguing. Now, the computer, let's first access that the Internet comes from a company named CERN that has world's largest particle collider in Switzerland. And they are trying to punch a hole into the other dimension to find the God particle, or to find what it is that creates mass. And if you look at CERN's logo, which I have on my website, you will see that it's three sixes with a hyperdimensional portal. So 666 portal. When we look at the Hebrew connections to the computer, and this one I try not to use too often because it gets a bit confusing, but the Hebrew letter V equals 6. And this is, when you're transliterating any of this magic, you must realize that what they are performing is a ritual known as Kabbalah. It's an ancient mysticism of Hebrew. And so all of your transliterations need to go to Hebrew. And a lot of people miss this point in their understanding of how this all works. So when you see the letter V, it equals 6. And so just as an example, when you see the Volkswagen logo and it's two V's interlaced, the 66 in Kabbalism is the number of the fallen angels. And then two V's interlaced, making a third V, makes 666 out of the Nazi war machine that the Volkswagen was.
Would you explain transliterated?
Yes. So in mystery schools and hermetic arts, there are a lot of ciphers, a lot of codes. And so what you need to do when we're looking at, Conoco, if you wanted to break that down or transliterate it, you would have to take each letter and decipher it into what its meaning is. So I have outlined a database to every corporate logo into ritual of Freemasonry and therefore Kabbalism. So when you break down or say transliterate something like Conoco, you'll take the CNC, because in Hebrew there are actually no vowels. So O, U, and V are all the same letter, but they are an addition. There are no O's in Hebrew. So you take the O's out. CNC equals 40, 50, or 20, 50, and 20. CNC, 20, 50, 20, which equals 90. So this is a transliteration. You're turning the letters into a numerological factor. And then the number 90, you would take that into Kabbalism or into the Tarot, and you would find it was equivalent to the pentagram or star. But then you're still left with the three O's, and if you realize that their O, U, V is all the same thing, then you're back to 666. So Conoco transliterates into a pentagram in 666.
This is the part that's really hard for me, because I do realize that there's a number of people that have picked up on the numerology that's involved with numerous events that have taken place through certain leadership, that it isn't, and that a lot of these events, just like wars don't, they just don't happen right away. They plan these things years in advance. And so when they start beating the drum, that means that they've already been planning for years before that.
Absolutely. And in the strangest fashion, let's consider the attack on Baghdad, what we know of as shock and awe. Have we discussed this before?
Go ahead and do it again if we did.
Okay, because it's a critical factor to really see how this works. So we put a man in power in Iraq. We called Saddam Hussein in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, is ancient Sumeria. This is the ancient land of Sumer, the ancient land of Babylon. And so what happened was we put Saddam Hussein in. Next thing you know, he's rebuilding Nebuchadnezzar's palace, and he's announcing that he's Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated. Now, if you read in the Isaiah passage, that whole story where it leads up to, oh, how thou have fallen, Lucifer, that's all in reference to Nebuchadnezzar. And what we find is that Nebuchadnezzar was taken out by the Moabites in that story. So what we have now is the American government putting Saddam Hussein in power, who's claiming to be Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated, and then we attacked with a campaign we called Shock and Awe. And most people remember Shock and Awe. Well, Shock and Awe is a play on the Hebrew word, and you always, like I say, have to take it to Hebrew. Shock and Awe is the Hebrew goddess, the Shekinah. And so the Shekinah came down and struck Nebuchadnezzar, and they used the mother of all bombs to blow up the Baghdad palace. And that, of course, is shortened in military acronym to MOAB, M-O-A-B. So the Shekinah comes down, strikes Nebuchadnezzar using the MOAB. There was no war there. This was absolute ritual.
Amazing. But when we point this out, it's funny how, again, people will start stretching. But I've heard some talk about just the fact that them going into the museums, that they were... That wasn't an
That's
accident
right.
either.
No, and they stole the tablets of Semiramis, who is going back to Astarte, back to Columbia, back to the Shekinah. It's all the same thing.
And what would have been the significance of taking those tablets?
I don't know. And that's a very curious one, because this does go to time portals and ancient astronauts. When you start to look at what these guys are actually doing, they're trying to destroy matter, recreate matter, and teleport matter. And that's their main focus, and that's what we all are paying our taxes to have created, is their ability to teleport matter into another dimension. If you look at the creation of the atom bomb, and then the creation of matter out of photons, and now CERN's ability to punch holes into the other dimension, and always coded with 666, and always created by the occult orders. If you follow it back to the Viril Society, or back to the Ordo Templi Orientis, which is Aleister Crowley's church, you will always find that these are the guys doing this. They're the ones launching rockets to the moon. They're the reason our rockets are called Saturn and Orion and Aries. So we have to realize our ancient past and that these people are functioning from a mindset of this ancient knowledge of high technological advancements.
So
and that's where it gets very curious, because when we're looking at things like what you're saying, you got to realize that when the capping of the Great Pyramid with gold was canceled, just prior to that, there was an Egyptian flight 990 that flew out of Patterson Air Force Base after picking up 33 Egyptian military and a high scientist from Jet Propulsion's laboratories, and they began a flight to the Giza Plateau. Suddenly, the plane takes a nosedive into the ocean. The pilot calls out a Muslim prayer, and the news calls it pilot suicide, because this was before terrorists were being programmed into our collective consciousness. But after these 33 Egyptian military and head scientists from our rocket laboratories crashes into the ocean, they announce that they're canceling the Great Pyramid capping. And it's things like that that really make you wonder, you know, what level they're at. Now, I personally have had large V-shaped craft fly over my car. Anti-gravity craft. I'm certain it was a terrestrial craft. But, you know, I've been taken to a new level of understanding, and what's strange for me is I'm coming from this perspective, and I have not been wrong yet. As I say, I've made global predictions live on the air. I predicted an asteroid. How do you do that? The scientists didn't see it coming.
Well, I mean, when you start looking at what some of the things you're talking about, it's even in their speeches, you find that they're talking to us on two or three different levels. They're meant for one group of people, it would mean one thing, but on another level, it's as though they're, you know, I don't know what the term is I'm trying to speak
of. Esoteric.
Is that the term?
Yes.
And so if you start dissecting what they're saying in those speeches, you find that there's a whole lot more being said than meets the eye.
Well, have you ever heard Yes, We Can backwards?
Yeah, I was listening to that on your, and that was literally just, how
just
did you
flipped it?
Yes,
We Can clearly says, thank you, Satan. Our president, his name, Barack Obama, in Aramaic and ancient Hebrew, would mean lightning from heaven, lightning from the heights, and that is the description of Satan in the Bible, and Satan fell like lightning from the heights. If Jesus had said that, he would have said, and Satan fell like Barack Obama. That is the true transliteration of that word, or translation. And he rides around in the beast, right? His limousine is known as the beast. So we have the angel or the lightning from heaven riding around in the beast, and now he's going into a holy war with the ancient serpent deity of Egypt known as Apophis.
Okay, I've got William here. He has a question for you here. Just a second.
Sure.
Well, I noted more than one question. if I understand you right, Freeman, it seems that you're saying that there is a war going on that is far beyond our daily life, a war of the gods. Would that be a correct conclusion?
That seems to be, you know, I'm wondering if it is a war of the gods, if there are fighting factions. There do seem to be interference, but not a fighting force. So it seems as if there were an interaction of two forces. One is somewhat having its hands held due to, say, Galactic Federation rules like the Prime Directive. Because there are these large craft that you can see constantly filmed by the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis. And I have each of those films attached to those titles on the front page. And they're very amazing craft, way beyond anything. They're gigantic, 2 to 3 miles across, and seeming to be hyperdimensional. But on the same level, it appears that we are at war with the gods, as it were, that they are forming their final global dominance.
If we're involved in this war, and we seem to be very weak, like little bugs in a petri dish compared to the scale of power and things that they can do, how come we aren't wiped out? It leads me to a conclusion. We must have something going for us maybe we're not fully aware of what part
we play. I totally agree with you.
But could you play into that, talk into that?
I'm sorry. When you're looking into these occult orders, especially, say, Freemasonry, which you must realize that 51% of our presidents have all belonged to a single fraternity. There's never been an election. The first 13 presidents are all Freemason. This is a Freemasonic country through and through. When you're looking at their rituals and the indoctrination into Freemasonry, you are not allowed to be recruited. You must come of your own free will and accord. And this seems to be a spiritual matrix that they have to stay in accordance with. So what I have also tracked is their ability to get us to do what they need us to do, because we must give our free will agreement for them to go ahead with their plans. And I think there is a spiritual barrier there that they are tricking us through Hollywood, through media, through all of the different mental campaigns they have going on us. Even patriotism and religion are being used against us. Then you can see that they need us, that we actually have this force, and they have to require our agreement. And that's what I believe is going on. I believe that's the spiritual veil.
So we hold an element of superior power in our choice.
If we exactly.
If we choose to not go with them, they can't touch us or do anything. And only by deceiving us and seducing us into their plot or program do they gain place, gain the
it
use of
It is the most
us.
Logical answer to all the effort that they put into the mind pattern programming. Mm-hmm. You know, so I do believe exactly what you just said.
My research indicates that. Another question. I want to go back to Paradise Lost, written by John Milton. Are you familiar with the...
Oh, absolutely.
It's a 12-book poem. Was John Milton telling us something and disguising his brilliant illumination of secret truths with a lot of poetry? Is there something we should be looking at there?
Well, he was definitely a high occultist. There's no doubt about that.
Well,
and it's really him and Dante where we get our concept of Lucifer. But... Yeah, it's been a while since I've dug into the prose. I definitely have that one on the shelf, and I definitely use it as an example often as the fact that this is where our idea of Lucifer comes from, because biblically there really was no Lucifer until the King James Version, and then even then there is no story of this fallen angel who was the most beloved of God who became Satan. When the Bible uses the word Lucifer, it's in reference to Nebuchadnezzar. And if you were to look it up, it would actually be in reference to Venus. And then Venus would be our fish goddess on Starbucks or the goddess of America, Columbia. And so we actually, if you look into the name America, the Freemasons will tell you that America comes from the star of the Chaldeans, which was Venus. And so America actually means Lucifer or Venus. And same with our goddess Columbia. So we actually live in the nation of Lucifer.
So when you're talking about the Freemasonry, one of the things that struck me on in your work is the fact that you go to these cities and start and do tours somewhat of explaining the symbolism that's involved with these, because it's everywhere. And,
yes.
And we walk among it, and many of us have no clue what that symbolism is about.
I always swore that if somebody came back from, say, the 15th century, they would totally think that Satan ruled. With all of the sun signs and pentagrams and everything that we see blazing on us every day, we see nothing on it. You know, you go to Target and you think nothing of it. That is a sexual symbol up there. That is the point within the circle. That's the sun sign, the symbol for the sun in alchemy. Yeah, there is a whole level of aesthetics and what we could call aesthetic terrorism being used against us in these dominant buildings. And then even an idea of paramagnetics or the use of spiritual antennas that actually generate more spiritual power into these types of buildings like the White House. This is something else I've been tracking throughout these same buildings. I found the most interesting 666 building in London with six angels slaying six demons up on the rooftop. and then these giant, what seem to be, in my opinion, paramagnetic antennas, which is a new understanding we're coming to, is the whole electromagnetic spectrum. And that's when we start to realize where their powers lie and where the spiritual world lies. They're talking about, you know, electromagnetic machines that can lower you into the fourth density or demonic realms. And it's always been about this type of electromagnetics, because the word magic, magus and magi, it always goes back to magnet as well.
And this is worldwide, correct? This is just not a Western Hemisphere situation.
No, absolutely. The entire Y2K ritual, which you can see in my corporate logos, it starts in Greece and it works its way all the way over. And every they burn the Acropolis, and France ignites the Eiffel Tower, which is a Masonic phallus. England then burns the River Thames to the speed of the sun, another solar Styx, you know, river to hell type scenario. And then in America, they ignite Washington's monument. They made the sun rise in the west, which is a symbol of Horus. And Bill Clinton announced it is a rising sun. And you were saying about people's reactions. It was very curious to watch this, and you can see it in the film, because he gives this really eloquent opening, and then he follows with, it is a rising sun. And you kind of hear the audience go silent because they don't understand its hidden meaning of what he's saying. And they just kind of, you know, stand there like, what does he mean? And then they made the sun rise in the west. And this was actually the development of the Age of Horus, and Horus being the Avenger God, the vengeful hero. And that's what we were moved into. At that moment, then Superman died and became a clone. Batman died and became Azrael, who was one of the fallen angels, and became a bloodthirsty, backbreaking, vengeful hero. And people actually freaked out about this new Batman, and they had to return the old Batman because they just aren't into that. But it continued to spread, and you will see the advent of the avenging hero through the Matrix, through all of the different anti-heroes, V for Vendetta. And that's what they're programming into us now, is this vengeful hero. And that's what they want from us now, is this type of attacking for good, you know. And it's this type of subtle programming that they constantly do. If I could throw out one more that hits home.
Go ahead.
When you're walking through your local Walmart, your local Target, or your Ross, or your, you name it, any one of these stores, start to notice all of the Hannah Montana faces staring at you. And realize that Hannah Montana is a Disney product. That Walt Disney is a military industrial corporation. My father built nuclear missiles for Martin Marietta. Martin Marietta sponsors a ride in Walt Disney. When you walk into Walt Disney, in the first 10 minutes, they have your entire biometrics, from fingerprint, facial scan, to where you live. It's this type of corporation, and they are programming the world, right? So when you walk into your Walmart, have a look around and realize on your left-hand side you're seeing all of the Disney princesses, including Miss Hannah Montana, who is also Miley Cyrus. This goes to the bipolarity of the multiple personality, but it also speaks to the idea of the elite and then us lowly people, because Hannah wants the best of both worlds, and so she puts on her fake wig, becomes a fake person, and she's now the elite, but she pretends to be lowly like us, and that keeps that programming into the children. But on the right-hand side, out next to Hannah Montana, you're going to see Star Wars, Transformers, G.I. Joe. So this is the warrior programming for the boys. And so it's this constant bipolarity where they're teaching the little girls to get their gilded cell phones, and then they're teaching the little boys that they have to go out and shoot somebody to get it for. And that's how our military-industrial fascist corporate world is in America, and it always has been. And I know people have this ideal, and I wish we would cling to the ideal of America instead of what we think America should be doing, because it's this very dictatorship through corporatocracy that's causing all the problems.
Yeah, but also at the same time, you're telling us that there's a number of things that we have to take another look at. I mean, just if we're looking at the symbolism of the cities and our capitals and that sort of thing, then and what they represent, other than the fact that you might want to explain a little bit more on the Masonic side of why these are significant and why it's so prevalent.
Well, it gets very bizarre when you start to get to the deeper doctrines. There's just no doubts about this, and that's where it starts to take off planet. The Freemasonic symbols that we see quite often are in our capitals, and this would be the simple obelisk and dome. And, of course, this, again, is the hermaphroditic or male-female Hermes-Aphrodite symbolism. And so that's the same meaning on the target logo, the point within a circle, or are many hermaphroditic artists that are promoted through. Well, what you realize is that Freemasonry, if you start to look at who's at the head, you'll start to quickly realize that every CEO of every major corporation, it belongs to Freemasonry. It just database so many from all this time that it's just almost a given fact. I almost don't look anymore because you just constantly will find their association. So, you know, say Walt Disney, he's absolutely a Freemason, or RCA, you know, the list goes on and on. McDonald's, you know, Popeyes, all of these owned by Freemasonry. So you're going to find their coded symbols, their signs of allegiance to one another, encoded in every corporate logo. That's why there's a fish goddess with a pentagram on her head in Starbucks, and why there's a double cube on Chevron or 66 on Phillips, or the, you know, you could go on and on with this. Every one of those has a meaning within Masonic ritual, and so they recognize this, and then they are the filter that promotes what comes through to the top, and so they are the culture creators. And so when they need to, like, as they are trying now to make everyone crazy, angry, violent, they generate that type of mass media. And so we see it all over the internet. We see it in our music. That's why most of our stars at this point look like hermaphrodites. You know, if you look at Prince, Madonna, Michael Jackson, Britney Spears even. You know, she's a little more feminine, but we have a hermaphroditic type scenario going on. So the symbol of the dome and the obelisk, that is Osiris's penis, and then the dome, of course, the female or feminine yoni. When you take this to another level, and you realize that Egypt was the foundation of the Masonic culture, that's quickly recognized when you just take a quick look around America and the pyramid on Memphis and all of the Egyptianization that's been going on. Egypt is the base form for the Masonic order. And when you see the obelisk, the dome, and a pentagram, which of course is our symbol, then you take that back to Egypt, and it's actually a symbol of a star known as Sirius. Now, this is where I leap off and find, you know, this is where you tend to lose people when you start to get to this level. But when you start to understand exopolitics or extraterrestrial politics with Earth, you will find doctors speaking of these things and many high scientists. And I've always said that you have the exact same data or amount of data and style of data for a nuclear bomb as you do for extraterrestrials. We have all the same style of data. You have documents, you've got film footage, you've got scientists saying it's true. None of us have ever seen a nuclear bomb go off, I'm sure. But we all believe that one could. None of us have seen, except for me and many others, a flying saucer. But we have all the same amount of data, but we don't believe in one when we believe in the other, you see? And we've seen neither. So that's the type of programming that they are using against us, because they've declassified the UFO. They've taken it to a point where people don't pay attention. And so we're not understanding the exopolitics. We're not understanding why we are now going into a heavy space war, why they're using asteroids to foment the weaponization of space. We have Akhenaten in the office, and things are getting very strange.
Well,
so when we start to get to the understanding of what these symbols mean, it actually takes us off planet to a star cluster known as Sirius and another as Alpha Draconis. And it seems that these two extraterrestrial races are combined in a marriage to control planet Earth, to mine it for resources, and we are a mutated race that have been designed as workers to mine this planet for gold and other resources. It seems that the Freemasonic Order is the priestcraft of the ancient Atlanteans, the Black Brotherhood, left to control this operation, and most of them wouldn't even know why until now. You know, we're starting to get to the reasons now as we start to enter this age of revelation, as it is. I will say that Mars is going to play heavily into this storyline. Phobos, should start becoming very apparent next year. I would say start listening for Phobos, which is Mars's moon. That means fright. There's just so much. Please ask God, where have I missed some spots?
Okay.
I didn't get into who the Sirians and Alpha Draconis were. I don't know if you want to go that far.
Yes. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, the exopolitical spectrum came to light as they started to correlate all of the data that they got from ex-military whistleblowers, and like Project Disclosure with Stephen Greer, only this one's with Dr. Michael Sala. And they've outlined in database 57 different alien races that are interacting with planet Earth, some that are malevolent and some that are not, or some that are benevolent. So they were classifying these two races, and they did not expect this to follow into my symbolism, I don't believe, but what had happened was it just fell like a piece of puzzle piece right into place for what I had been already examining in the symbolism. So in the symbolism, well, what we find is that the Sirian race is actually known as an amphibian race, or a merfolk. Now, mer is actually the ancient Egyptian word for pyramid, so you could actually call them pyramid folk. What's really curious is a mermaid is dancing in the beaches right now in Israel, and they are offering $1 million reward for anyone that can get a picture or capture it. That's going on in Israel as we speak. That's Israeli news yesterday or the day before, maybe a few days now. But so the idea of the mermaids now, when we start to look at it, now that's where Starbucks logo comes from again. Those are her feet or fins up by her head because that's how they used to explain sex with the fish people. So if you actually saw the original Starbucks logo, it'd be what's known as a Skyla or a split tail mermaid. And that was what they had to do to explain how people were having sex with these merfolk.
If somebody were wanting to get an idea of to start getting in and studying any of this, so they have a little bit, you know, of course, when somebody like you comes on here and starts speaking, everybody shouldn't take it at face value. They should do their own study on this. And where would somebody start? You have an idea?
Well, you would probably want to start. Well, there are two places to start. You could start with the ancient astronaut hypothesis. And that is a very interesting study. I would recommend researchers like Graham Hancock, Lawrence Gardner, Zechariah Sitchin. And I have a wealth of them linked in on my blog. So if you go to freemantv.com and just click on Freeman's blog, I have a whole list of links of these ancient astronaut researchers. David Hatcher Childress is another great one. So you can start this story from the ancient astronaut hypothesis. You can ask the question, why are the pyramids so precise? Why are they so perfect? And why are there structures in existence today that we cannot build? If you look at Baalbek, Lebanon, the structure that unbelievable. We could not possibly move the stones that were used to create. And here we are in the 21st century. So why, you know, you start to ask these questions. Why is it that the ancient pyramids are better than the later pyramids? Why is it that Egypt's history starts from nothing and then becomes full blown from nowhere? There's no pre-Egypt. They have science, mathematics. So you ask these questions. And then if you wanted to get a deeper understanding into the occult or Freemasonic understandings, Manly P. Hall is just a fantastic resource. And he was one that started the American Philosophical Research Society, which is housed in Los Angeles, California, and was basically hired on by the Freemasons to understand Freemasonry because most of them have forgotten their ancestral roots and what the rituals actually mean and where they come from, which I've actually found extraterrestrial connections to these rituals as well. So Manly P. Hall and the Philosophical Research Society is a very good one, and now there are two Masonic researchers known as Knight and Lomas, and they have put together what is known as the Web of Hiram, H-I-R-A-M. And Hiram is the very first Master Mason that you go through a death and resurrection ritual as you become a Master Mason. So you pretend to be this Hiram Abiff. The Web of Hiram is a fantastic expose or research into the Masonic rituals by Masons now. So those are some very good sources to start with.
Well, you might mention your website again and your radio programs while you're at it.
Sure. FreemanTV.com is the main website, but I mostly can access my blog. I'm not very good webmaster. Like I'm saying, you know, you had to learn so many talents just to do this. So FreemanTV.com is the website, and my radio shows, I have two a week. I do one on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central. It's Radio Freeman on ReveraRadio.net. And then Saturday night's a lot more fun, live show with phone calls, and that is The Free Zone, and that's Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Central on OracleBroadcasting.net.
And they are totally different. They are totally different type programs too, from what I've
heard. Very much, yeah. I use Radio Freeman more as confessions of a conspiracy theorist, so he's just kind of talking with you, and then the Free Zone is more based on topical data and, you know, news reports and things that are going on in the world. And it is where I predicted that there would be an asteroid coming to planet Earth a month before it happened.
Was that in March or in January?
Yes. I predicted it in January, and it came in March.
Well, there was also one in January.
And
how did you get this information? Did it just come to you, or did you see something in regards to predicting the March asteroid?
Yeah, I always have a method to my madness. Now, none of this is ethereal grabbing into some prognostication or anything. This is actually following a method and an understanding of what these guys are after. And so what it began with was Obama's first days in office when they announced they were going to couple NASA with the Department of Defense. Now, this was something that Wernher von Braun had been warning about. He was a Nazi scientist brought over to America in Project Paperclip, which I also have a picture of him with Walt Disney. I always got to pound Disney. You guys got to realize how evil they are. So Wernher von Braun came here on Project Paperclip to get us to the moon and create the Saturn V rockets, and never mind that he killed millions or, you know, thousands of people. But he was brought here along with, you know, many other Nazi scientists to start our space program. Wernher von Braun came out and through a lady known as Carol Rosen that they were going to use these effects to cause the weaponization of space, but not so much to control planet Earth, but to actually fight the good aliens is what Wernher von Braun was trying to say. So he stated clearly that first it would be a Cold War to start the space-based programming. And then that would be followed by terrorists. Now, most thought that extraterrestrials was next in the line, but Wernher von Braun said asteroids. So as Obama was coupling NASA with the DOD, bringing about the Ares-Orion space program, which Ares being Mars, Ares is Mars, and Mars is the god of war, so the warfare space program, coupling the Department of Defense and Google into this one program. So now we are going to retire the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, or our space shuttle program, and move into the Ares-1 rocket to get to the moon and Mars. Now, of course, you know they're going to bomb the moon on October 9th. I don't know if you guys are...
Yeah, and what is behind that?
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm wondering because there's two things going on, one with the moon and the other one with Phobos. So both seem to be hollow moons. Both seem to be placed in their placements. Both seem to have an opposing force on them that is stopping our NASA program from reaching, say, Phobos. I mean, Phobos is a classic. We've lost somewhere around 8 satellites trying to get images of Phobos, the last one being Phobos 2 by the Russians that filmed a 12-mile-long craft before it vanished.
Which moon were you speaking of being bombed?
Our moon.
Will we see it?
Absolutely. October 9th, I have the deadline or the clock on my website. If you go to my new Space War News section, you can follow it on Twitter, or you can just watch the countdown clock. But yes, absolutely, we are going to bomb the moon on October 9th. I don't know the exact time. I can check out the impact clock. And what it is, so we have 44 days, 7 hours, 33 minutes, and 45 seconds till impact. What we have going on here is they launched, which rocket was it? Yeah, I got lost because of the Minotaurs that were recently launched. I think it was a Saturn. Okay, I don't remember which rocket. But we launched a rocket out of Cape Canaveral, and attached to it were two satellites. One was the LRO, or the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, which detached from the rocket and then went and set up in a geosynchronous orbit around the moon, and has now sent back pictures of the landing site, much to the dismay of people that were trying to say we never went to the moon. I'm still not convinced, I'm not sure, but, you know, the evidence against us having images of what went on the moon is very questionable. But so right now the LRO is getting the most up-to-date images of the moon that we have, and you can actually, you know, see a lot of these, and they announced the one showing the lunar landing. But then the other one was the La Crosse, which was continued to be attached to the rocket. And the rocket is now doing an orbit between the Earth and the moon in like a infinity spiral. And then when it gets ready on October 9th, it will head straight for the south pole of the moon to impact, some have said a 6-mile crater, some have said 60 meters, so I'm not sure what the impact's gonna cause, into the moon. And at this point, the La Crosse will detach from the rocket and fly through the debris cloud so that they can determine whether or not there's enough water and materials for them to put a lunar base there. Which is a very scary thing, because as I talked with Bruce Gagnon from, anti-weapons in space, it will control the gravity well and control who gets on and off of Earth. So it's a...
And if the moon actually controls our tides, what is going to be the impact of that?
Well, I'm always going back to the time machine, you know, when they bombed the moon in that story. H.G. Wells was also an insider.
So I don't know.
This is a very strange thing. And the very fact that Obama had come out saying, I'm making a strong stand against weapons in space. He kept saying this, but at the same time, coupling the DOD with NASA and launching a what's considered a kinetic missile at the moon, which is against the UN treaties for space usage, right? This is against the Space Peace Treaty. So we are actually, going against all of the treaties, doing what we're doing, and they were just acting like we don't care. But what we see is them trying to foment World War III, but it's going to be this apocalypse script. And so what had happened was, here I am databasing this coupling of the DOD with NASA, and then was sidetracked by the idea that Obama looks identical to the ancient pharaoh Akhenaten, who is known as the first internationalist and created monotheism.
Okay, hold that thought. Melanie, we need to do station identification.
Yeah, and you're listening to KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, community-supported radio. And we're streamed on the Internet at khen.org. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs of TruthQuest, they're available at www.givemesometruth.info or link from the khen.org website. And again, if you have any questions, you can email the station at khen.dj@gmail.com. And I've got William Wallace in here with me, and Katie O'Brien is my co-host, and we've got Freeman of the Freeman Perspective with us, and he's really getting into some heavy-duty symbolism. It's quite interesting. So go ahead.
Yeah, continue with what you were going to say about our President Obama.
Well, okay. As we said, Barack Obama, lightning from heaven. So what had happened was someone suggested to me that Barack looked very much like Akhenaten. So I went ahead and I used my Photoshop skills and I cut his face in half from his Time magazine cover and took the bust of Akhenaten and I just put the two together and they are an identical match. It's uncanny. Now this I put out and I published with the idea of the asteroid coming in. And someone saw my artwork and said, well, did you happen to notice that Michelle Obama looks very much like Queen Tee? I'm like, well, who the heck's Queen T? So I go and I start researching Queen T, and it turns out she's Akhenaten's mother. So that would mean that Obama was actually married to his mother. And Queen Ti was actually the formidable force behind Akhenaten. She was the original Hyksos queen. She was the original Hebrew-Egyptian bloodline that began monotheism. And some, like Sigmund Freud, suggest that Akhenaten was Moses. So the whole story of the biblical patriarchs can actually be linked together if you take Abraham and link him with Amenhotep, who is the great-great-grandfather or the pharaoh before Akhenaten. And you can follow the line down, and you actually come with, many have suggested that maybe Akhenaten was Moses' brother if they weren't willing to go to the point that Akhenaten was Moses himself. But they seem to fall right into line with each other. So then I find it curious that we're also dealing with very much the same plagues that Moses dealt with when he was battling the Egyptian magi in Exodus. So we've got the plague of blood, the plague of cattle, you know, if you follow it, it almost follows exactly what we're dealing with the swine flu and with AIDS. But so as I started to see this now, I took Michelle Obama's high school photograph, and you can go see this on my website or my videos on YouTube, YouTube Freeman TV, and I put her high school photo onto Queen T's face, and you cannot even tell I did it. People are actually using my composite as the actual picture of Queen T. They're so identical, you can't even tell. So as we're researching a little bit more, and we dig out the books on the pharaohs, a friend suggests, well, did you notice that Akhenaten had two daughters? So I went to look it up, and sure enough, Akhenaten had six daughters with his queen Nefertiti. So this is not Queen T or Michelle Obama. We're starting on a theory that maybe Beyonce might be Nefertiti. this really starts to get strange, but I won't go there. I'm sorry, I'm stepping off. Okay, so we see that there's two daughters represented with Akhenaten. Now, Akhenaten was known for having stopped the pantheism of the Egyptian culture and starting a monotheism of this god known as Aten or Aton. And then this Aten or Aton had an adversary or the first serpent deity of destruction known as Apep or Apophis. And so this whole idea of the one true god with the serpent deity came through Akhenaten and Queen Ti. But what had happened was that they had two daughters that became co-regents, or they became pharaohs themselves. Akhenaten's time brought about the most realistic artwork of Egyptian history. So it used to be much more stylized, but during Akhenaten's reign, there was pictures of him with his children and very human images, although Akhenaten himself did not look human. Neither did his children. They had cone heads and very strange-shaped bodies. And so scientists or archaeologists talking about Akhenaten tried to attach this idea that he has Marfan syndrome, and this would create this deformation of his body. But if you research Marfan syndrome, then you would find that it actually would make him retarded, and this would nullify the whole idea of him creating this entire new culture for Egypt, building an entire new capital city in Amarna and all of the things that Akhenaten did. I don't think he had Marfan syndrome. They look like aliens. There's no denying it. They were cone-headed and in the most realistic artistic period of the Egyptian time. But what I had realized, now it gets a bit more curious. So the two daughters, I went ahead and found their bust, and I took Malaya and Sasha, and I put their faces on these two other busts. All one family. This is simply Akhenaten's family, and they all are exact matches, identical. So now, as an ancient astronaut researcher, I knew for a long time now that mummification provides a viable cell for cloning. And when many talked about the resurrection in the end days, I often thought that this would be the case. Or even the pharaohs themselves were told that they would come back. And this is why they went through the process of mummification. But mummification does save a viable cell for cloning, and it was published in the New York Times in 1985 that they could clone a 2,400-year-old mummy. So as I continued to work on the article, they announced the Secret Service had new names or secret names for the first family.
Being announced, right?
What's that?
being announced, secret names being announced.
Exactly. I'm glad you caught that. Exactly. And the names are so apropos for Akhenaten and family. Barack Obama is known as Renegade, which is exactly what Akhenaten was known to be. And the definition of renegade, someone who rebels or becomes an outlaw, a disloyal person who betrays or deserts his cause or religion or political party or friend, Christian turned Muslim, defector, deserter, a turncoat, apostate. Now, this is the title they gave to the president. But it gets even stranger, because they gave Michelle Obama the title Renaissance, the revival of learning and culture. But what does it mean? Rising again as to new life, a second or new birth, reincarnation or rebirth, right? And then the daughters, Radiance and Rosebud. So if you were to look at the stela of Akhenaten with Nefertiti and his new two daughters, there's only two other things in that picture, and that is flowers and rays of the sun, Radiance and Rosebud. So the Secret Service is even titling them after
I got a couple of questions I want to put together for you, Freeman. This is quite a huge story. So one question is, how do we make this huge story plain to common people? And the other side is, what do we need to know first so that we can be educated enough to realize we need to choose our own path and not be caught up in this fantastic mirage.
Well, it's hard. They have played upon our egos. They have made us proud of our nations when there's never been such a thing. They have us screaming for Barack Obama's birth certificate instead of questioning why we have to have one. We don't question why we are under the thumb of this multinational corporations. And that is what your birth certificate signifies, that we are owned and operated. So we have to get away from our own egoistic delusions. It's very difficult to say to someone that, you know, America, it might be a bad idea. And that it actually had a secret destiny all along. And that it was beyond the understanding of the public, and the idea that the streets were paved with gold was merely a trap. We see it in other cultures. We can easily identify the Nazi propaganda or even the ancient Roman propaganda and all of the in the other cultures, but we hardly ever notice it in our own. And so we have to start realizing right away that we're under a fascist dictatorship, and we've never been not under this occult regime. That there has been a game plan in play all along, that I've been able to predict world events using this idea to say that Obama would not be considered a natural-born citizen. We have to realize that they're feeding us the frenzy, that everything in the media is out there to agitate you. That's why the Obamas grow an organic garden and then say that you can't through House Resolution 875. Or they're throwing million-dollar parties with Jay-Z and Beyonce in the White House, and you're starving, or most of us are barely scraping by. This is meant to agitate you. So there's many levels that we'll see this. They gave the Obamas, the Gordon Brown and the Browns in England gave the Obamas a uniquely historical gift, a pen box made from this ancient boat that was an anti-slavery boat that was used to build the desks both in the White House and in the Buckingham Palace. And they give this to Barack Obama as a special gift, this handcrafted pen box. And in response, he hands over 25 DVDs. He had just made $600 million on his campaign through Google and his book sales. But of course, this is all just to aggravate everyone so that there's, you know, fomenting war on all sides. We have to recognize the Freemasonic roots to America. That's critical. Realize that House Resolution 33 established Freemason Day as St. John's Day, June 24th. Which is the day they seem to have injected Michael Jackson. There is a higher level going on here, and people are lost in the money spell. For another one, money is nothing more than a pentacle created by the the Templars. It's a spell. It's a way to get you to do what they need you to do. So there's many levels of programming to break through. It's very difficult. Security and safety are the only answer. We are under trauma-based mind control. So if we can start gathering more community, more friendship, more eating together, it would stabilize things and people would feel less of this reptilian brain, the fight and flight, and start to calm down because they need us to be agitated and they want us shooting each other. You know, that's their whole game plan.
You know, it's amazing how you can stand back and look at the big picture with all of this because it's so easy to get caught up into all the little plays within plays in this thing. And you know, I mean, just like with the genetics thing you were talking about, I mean, it's pretty obvious that they've been tracking their genealogy for a long, long, long time. So some of this is, you know, it'll start out being very preposterous sounding, but then when you start looking at little bits and pieces, and again, we don't have to take your word on it. We should be doing our own homework on this and start trying.
Absolutely. I mean, when you see that McCain is related to Britney, that Hillary's related to Madonna and Angelina Jolie, they say Brad Pitt's related to Obama, and they're all related to Bush, and then all of them are related to Vlad the Impaler. This is straightforward USA Weekly or US Weekly and also Fox News that broadcast this bloodline. You know, there is no... They're the elite. They're the blood that rule us, and no one really seems to recognize that. They think that they can exist in this American dream as if going to the top was worth it, right? Do you want to be Britney Spears? Do you want to be Anna Nicole? Do you want to be any of these people that have made it, you know, to what we consider the heights of the American dream? They're all on chloral hydrate, drinking it like milk at night, right?
Would you elaborate a little more on the strings of Freemasonry ruling the world, and where does the Illuminati fit with the Freemasons?
All right. Yeah, I never did get to drop the bomb on the asteroid with you there, though. There was a lead-up to this with the Akhenaten story.
Okay.
You see, there was one last piece of this puzzle that was just so astounding. I took the Obama story from the coupling of the space war, the fomentation of war through asteroids, war in space, and was talking about this when they announced that this asteroid had nearly hit the planet. But what they had said was that this was not the asteroid they were actually concerned with. They didn't even know this one was coming. The true asteroid of fear that they're worried about is known as Apophis. So Apophis is the Satan or serpent deity of destruction of Akhenaten's religion. And Apophis, the asteroid, comes from a group of near-Earth asteroids known as the Aten, which is Akhenaten's god. So now we have all of Akhenaten's family in the White House. They are creating a space war, and they're fighting Apophis, Akhenaten's very foe.
So are you saying this is kind of a spiritual war, too?
No, I'm saying this is all ritual. Well, how is it that the asteroid that Obama has to fight just happens to be named after Akhenaten Satan?
Okay.
You know, do you see? I mean, that one's so huge that it tends to go right over people's heads. You know, and when you realize that our president and family look identical to Akhenaten's family, who is the creator of monotheism and creator of the god Aten and the Satan Apophis, and now Obama is starting a space weaponization of space, and he has to use an asteroid to get there, and the asteroid's named after Akhenaten Satan.
Well, in reading about Akhenaten, he was the first one to come up with just one god, the sun god, correct?
Which right, but every monotheistic religion has to have its adversary or it won't work.
And why is that?
Well, you can't have God without Satan.
Well, with Akhenaten, basically, he was killed along with his family, and they tried to destroy any record of him.
Absolutely. They were erased from history. It wasn't until Howard Carter found King Tut's tomb that we even had an inkling about them.
So, if we're looking at that pattern in regard to action, what would you speculate would be happening with our current Akhenaten?
Well, we would go back to a monotheistic. So what I'm looking at right now is the Vatican's move on the Christian sites. So I had laid out my next prediction was the 4th of July, the Vatican takes the Temple Mount. And I've been talking about this one for over a year now. So as I was discussing it, the Pope did go to the Temple Mount. And this is the first time a pontiff has ever gone to the Temple Mount. And he said that he was going to be taking these areas over for Christianity. So this, of course, is going to spark a holy war. And, of course, this is one of the first signs of Armageddon, right? So this is what I'm following now, is this whole idea of this apocalypse script. And you will see the Vatican moving on the Temple Mount. I don't remember what we were, what got me to that.
So I had forgotten part of the asteroid story. And the question I had asked is, I'd like you to elaborate on the strings of masonry ruling the world, and where does the Illuminati fit into this?
Okay, so what we have is an occult order. If you look into Manly P. Hall's explanations, then what happened was we had a white brotherhood and a black brotherhood. And if you look into that, a deeper story, and this does correlate with Masonic ritual, then you go back to even the fallen angels, and you'll find Abaddon included in their rituals. So when you get all the way back to fallen angel spectrum and then follow this upward, then all of their devices of alchemy, women dressing up in high heels and wearing makeup, warfare, these were all given gifts as from the fallen angels in connection with having sex with the humans, right? We follow this story up through Atlantis, and then into ancient Egypt and the ancient mystery schools of Egypt. So, of course, much of the history pre-Egypt is wiped out, and we don't know. It's hard to say. Manly P. Hall does talk about this black priestcraft of Atlantis that then started to take over, using these occult means, these methods of spiritual powers to control the masses. And, you know, a lot of these things we consider normal today. You know, you would consider electricity, electromagnetism, the use of propaganda. All of these would be forms of magic back in the day. Even to the point of using high technology, such as Salon of Rome, who would create steam engines that would open the cathedral doors so that people thought God was inside. So they've always used this type of stage magic as well. Hitler did the same thing with his Nuremberg, and or having everybody come in cramming together, big ritual. Okay, Illuminati, we're leading up. So you follow through as the Egyptianization becomes Hebrew, and the Hebrew becomes Kabbalah. And this is the ancient high mystery that supposedly was given to Moses on his third trip up the mountain to meet the burning bush. According to Kabbalism, that's the belief system, where Kabbalism actually predates religion, is what they say. So it's a science. It actually a very, very well laid out science. There is so much data on Kabbalism and the use of this occult powers to manifest things into the reality, that you start to begin to believe in it because there's just so much evidence. I personally haven't practiced any rituals or had any, you know, straight confirmation on my own, right? But I've read enough to see that there are very smart men working on all of these things. And, of course, all of our ancient, the TV comes from the occultists. As we start to look at who is creating technology, where all this comes from, you're constantly brought back to the occult. So the Kabbalism is spread, but there are these three different factions that control the world. We look at at Rome, the city-states, of course, that create the different factions. So Rome would be the religion, England would be the finance and war, well, America, the war. And so each, of course, has an obelisk from ancient Egypt sitting in its main center. And each is focused on these ancient rituals and ancient technology, because if you get down into the Vatican And as I was talking about the merfolk from Sirius, they were actually supposed to be the high technologically advanced race. And of course, the symbol on the Pope, his Pope hat, is very much a fish symbolism. And this goes back to the cult of Dagon. This goes back to the cult of Oans, the creator of civilization, or Enki, from the Sumerians. And so this is where the Pope gets his fish hat. And so we have these three factions. So you have to really take in a global scale. You got to realize that these guys have been on this tip for so long, because it comes from an ancient knowledge that these three factions were known about. Like, the West was known about. New Atlantis was planned long ago. You can look into the Peri-Riaz maps and see that they knew America existed long before. He got these from ancient Alexandria maps, you know, from ancient 300 BC. And he said they were from much older maps than that. So you got to realize how much they knew already about the world. They knew the world was round. So, you know, this is not an easy answer to come to. But you lead this up through to the Templars. So now you've got the Vatican with their warrior priest knights. And the Templars dug under Solomon's Temple. Now, Solomon's Temple plays heavily into Freemasonry. It is what the Masonic Temple is a representation of. And when you look into Solomon's Temple, you look into the Ark of the Covenant, and you find out where Hiram Abiff, or this death and resurrection ritual that you go through, comes from, because it's all based on Solomon's Temple. When you look into the Ark of the Covenant, you know, you can take it to the Lord of the Raiders of the Lost Ark's level and realize that many of the depictions and descriptions of the Ark and the Covenant make it pretty much the first weapon of mass destruction ever given to mankind. Moses goes up to the mount. He's given directions on how to build this ark, gold inlaid on acacia, a perfect electromagnetic conductor. He puts these special stones in that didn't work the first time, but worked the second time. And then they can use these as a weapon to take out their foes, right? But everyone continued to die of a strange withering sickness when they came close to the ark, so they had to build a place to house it. And this is where Solomon's Temple comes into play. And this is where King Hiram of Tyre, who Zechariah Sitchin says left the planet, returns with this strange man, Hiram Abiff, who is the first master mason. And he is able to design and house the Ark of the Covenant, or a building that will house the Ark of the Covenant, with electroplated gold walls, so that the radiation is all kept inside. Now, what this force was that surrounded the Ark of the Covenant was called the Shekinah. So that's when we get back to the Shekinah, the Shekinah, and Nebuchadnezzar. But eventually, the Ark was lost. Now, an Ethiopian church just announced that they do have the true and actual Ark of the Covenant, and they were going to release it. But then he went and had a meeting with the Pope, and then they said, no, no, they misrepresented us. We're not going to release it, but we do have it. So you can look into the Falasha Jews, or the Black Jews of Ethiopia, that we find in Graham Hancock, and who's carrying the Ark of the Covenant. It's not a simple answer, right? So the Ark of the Covenant, the Temple Mount, is lost. Now, that is the 4th of July date that I am saying is the marker for them to take the Temple Mount back. So that's why I'm predicting that the Temple Mount will be taken by the Vatican on the 4th of July. Because in order to predict these events, you actually have to understand and follow their history and find these different symbolic dates that they tend to use. And the 4th of July is absolutely one, and that is when the Templars lost the Temple Mount, and that's when I'm saying next year, probably next year, they will take it back on the 4th of July. That's how I predicted 1013 as well, which is, of course, Chris Carter's production company, and we could just go on and how all these things come together. Okay, so the Templars dig under Solomon's Temple, and they find something. Nobody knows what, but next thing you know, they become most powerful organization in the world, and they create the idea of fiat currency. They say, yes, give us all your gold, we'll give you paper scripts, and then you can transfer this back at some other Templar bank at your location, so that the pilgrims didn't have to cross with gold across these dangerous lands. But of course, there were only 9 knights that they originally assigned to protect the entire lands of Jerusalem of the pilgrimage, so that's just a total farce. But they became the richest, most powerful organization known to mankind until 1013-1307, when the Pope Benedict, Pope Clement and Prince, or King Philip of France declared the Templars to be heretics and illegal. So that was 10/13 or October 13th, Friday the 13th, 1307. And that is the reason Friday the 13th is the most unlucky day. Now, when W met the Pope on Friday the 13th, they met in St. John's Tower, and St. John is the patron saint of the Templars. And so they were, on top of that, the new Pope, Cardinal Ratzinger, who was part of the Inquisition and is now Pope Benedict, he was investigating the Illuminati and the Templars before he was elected Pope, and then suddenly, as he became Pope, they announced that they found this ancient document that exonerates the Templars of all wrongdoing. So all of a sudden, the Templars are okay with the Pope again. This is all going on as we're speaking, you know what I mean? This is stuff that I've been reporting just this year. So now we've got the move back on the Temple Mount again, and we don't know what mystery it is that the Templars, and this is where Tom Brown or Dan Brown's making all his money selling the Da Vinci Code and such on this concept, what he leaves very limited and not spoken out. You know, he gives you just the very base in, outside of the story. So the Templars then have to escape on Friday the 13th. And, of course, it took quite a few years for them to actually do anything to the Templars because most people liked the Templars or were frightened of them. So they were allowed to leave, and they went to Ireland and Scotland, and they're infiltrated or joined with the Scottish and York rites of Freemasonry. And so now you will find a Templar ritual within Freemasonry. You can become a Knight Templar as a Freemason. So that's how that came through. Then you get further. That's 1717, the Freemasons become official. So the first official Freemasonic organization, 1717, the Grand Lodge is in London, where you will find many a Star of David inside. I promise you this, because this all goes back to the Kabbalistic rituals. The Templars were high magicians, and this all goes to alchemy and the occult and the discussion and communication with demons.
When you say say alchemy, are you talking about turning something into gold?
Well, that's one level of alchemy,
okay.
But it is pretty much what we, you know, pharmakeia, the creation of all of the use of metallurgy, the use of, pharmaceuticals and things of that nature all fall into alchemy as well.
Okay, go back into back to what you were saying now. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. So here, then you end up with your established history of Freemasonry, where they established the Grand Lodge 1717 in London, and that's where it starts to spread over here. But in 1776, it was basically a proclamation of announcement that the Illuminati existed. Now, this was a group that was in Bavaria, where the Pope actually comes from. So Pope Benedict, that is. So he's from Bavaria and was a Nazi youth. So this Bavarian Illuminati then sought out a man named Adam Weishaupt, sought out to take over monarchies, to supposedly spread democracy, but really they wanted to spread an oligarchy of a priestcraft. And some believe that actually the original George Washington was replaced by Adam Weishaupt, because they're trying to find some way to classify the idea that, you know, America was started on sinister forces because of our symbolism. Because the eye in the pyramid that we find on the back of the dollar bill that Woodrow, or was it Wilson that put on there, that this symbolism, the eye in the pyramid, is clearly shown on Illuminati documentations back in early 1700s, or late 1700s. So we can see where it was used prior to its use in America by the Illuminati. But the truth of the matter is that every one of our presidents has been a member of this secret order, and that they do death and resurrection rituals behind locked doors.
So the Illuminati is an international group, but what is their purpose?
Well, you know, that the term Illuminati actually has taken on two connotations. So one, there is the Bavarian Illuminati, which is the original mystery school started by Adam Weishaupt. May 1st, 1776. But then now, thanks to some researchers just using Illuminati as a catch-all term, which fits completely because this is a Luciferian organization. where they believe in kind of a Christ consciousness type force that they can tap into. And they believe in a hierarchy of incarnation so that certain bloodlines are superior to other bloodlines. That is a Luciferian belief system. So actually most of us in America are programmed with a Luciferian belief system, whether we know it or not. We're trained into this individualism, this idea of us, you know, rugged individuals claiming our world. And we have very little faith in the idea of a miraculous world. And so we are all very much bred into a Luciferian belief system. The idea of money is Luciferian. The fact that you can use this spell to get what you want, that's very Luciferian. Instead of relying on a miracle or the use of, you know, the divine forces guiding you. So that's where the separation comes in the mindset.
One thing that I was looking at one of your films, and it had something about some pillars that were in Nashville. What was that all about?
Yeah, that's a very curious thing. Now, in Nashville, you will find, of course, the Parthenon, which is the temple to the goddess, and there's a 42-foot golden-cased goddess inside the Parthenon in Nashville. And then just down the street from it, you'll find the temple to Mars, which is actually a war memorial and happens to be my MySpace picture today. And then you go down to just the Capitol Mall, and what we have out in front of the Nashville Capitol is the Bicentennial Mall. Now, I do have a film of this on my YouTube, Freeman TV, that you can see this all to really get the full effect. But what we see, if you just look at the outline, the plan of this Capitol Mall, which is a large park, many acres long, out in front of the Nashville Capitol, that was established in 1996 and actually is used to form a timeline from a billion years ago to 1996, and it's all on the black granite wall that makes a magical sigil. So when you see this, when you can see the diagram of it, the aerial view of the Capitol Mall, it is outlined by a black granite wall, and on the black granite wall is a timeline from a billion years to 1996. And this black granite wall forms a sigil, a very specific sigil. Now, a sigil is a magical seal. It is a design that is there to bind spirits. So back to Solomon. Solomon was a master magician, and he actually outlined a grimoire or book of magic to capture and use 72 different demons. And then he had one master symbol or sigil that was used to bind them all. Now, I always found this very curious because of the 72 was, back to Obama symbolism, but, so what we're looking at the Bicentennial Mall is an exact replica of Solomon's seal to bind spirits. And this National Mall is actually built upon a Native American burial ground where it actually says on the wall that thousands of bodies are interred here. So we have a seal of Solomon to bind spirits sitting on top of a Native American burial ground, and it is filled with curious devices throughout that correlate perfectly with the sigil. And one is a 16,000-pound black granite earth that rotates in a quarter inch of water that was put there by the Germans, and it highlights the warfare of World War II, showing the idea, it says victory across the top and then has a nuclear explosion, you know, terror, and these things are all encoded or written on it with depictions of it from the wartime, or on these monoliths that surround this giant black earth that's rotating on water, and then that entire thing is surrounded by Hollywood or holly plants. Just as the Georgia Guidestones are surrounded by Hollywood, if you've heard of those. And then up at the top, it's very curious, once you get to the top of this keyhole-looking sigil or keyhole symbol, at the top is the tri-pentagram or three-pentagram symbol of the Nashville sports team, the Titans. And, of course, the Titans are the gods of old, the men of renown, the fallen ones once again. And so within this trinity of pentagrams is a really interesting effect. Now, the pentagrams are made out of red, white, and blue granite, each infused with different varieties of quartz crystal. And if you stand in the very center on an iron post that goes in the center of the ground in the middle of these pentagrams and speak, everything you say comes back to you from 50 columns that are surrounding this. And if you step off of it, then you don't hear any echo at all. It's very amazing how well this is set up. And I've also found another one of these in Pioneer Center in Seattle or Portland, which is heavily Masonic and Rosicrucian as Portland. But yeah, I've gone around to each of the cities and most of the capitals and filmed all of the esoteric architecture, and I'll be releasing that sometime. That's going to take a lot of work, but I have 5 years of film that I'm waiting to release. But a lot of it I have released in little bits like this Bicentennial Mall on YouTube. And in my different films. So I release it in little portions. My latest being The Sorcerers of Atlantis. And I highly recommend checking that one out.
And one other thing that you talked about in that film was about, you know, just in the terminology that was taking place with each president, the symbolism that was taking place as each one came in from, you know, I would venture to say this probably goes back even further than you started with. I believe you started with Clinton. Is that correct?
I'm a little confused.
Okay, when you were talking about destroy the man in...
Oh, yes.
And the symbolism that was involved in the events that took place with these presidents.
Yes, well, you know, that was just simply outlining the road to World War III. And it was very clearly stated by Albert Pike in 1871 with a letter to Mazzini, who was a lead mafia. And he said how they would foment three world wars to bring about their holy Masonic empire, and that everyone would lose their moral compass and have to follow the doctrines of Lucifer that they had waiting for them. So it was simply following the outline to World War III, and it was one prediction that ended up being 10 years long. So as I watched them take down Bill Clinton over the Monica Lewinsky scandal, this to me was ludicrous because they don't do that to a president. National security would not allow you to defile the man's person, you know, in the public realm that much. To the point where, you know, the poor man was turning purple under investigation live on television. We all got to watch as he cringed. Now, to me, this was obviously psychological warfare, that they wanted us to begin to lose faith in the man. So, you know, in the art of war, first they must defeat your heart. So they took this man of the people, the saxophone playing David Letterman loving Bill Clinton, and they destroyed him in the public eye over a crime that most, you know, don't consider all that offensive. They, you know, there were many other reasons they could have taken Bill Clinton down. How about using military helicopters on the poor people of Waco? But to take him down for an affair was just a psychological effect. So I just projected from that moment. I said, okay, if they're taking down the man, what would be next? Well, they would need to force a president into office. And so that would be the next step to take down our belief in the system. So then I started hearing the tales of this W. And at that time, I was getting deep into my corporate logos and had just realized the connection between 6 and V, and therefore Phillips 66 being VV or W, and this being the letter or number of the fallen ones. According to Kabbalism, you can go look it up in any magician's dictionary, VV66W is the letter of the dark side. And so I knew he was the perfect one. Even Star Wars, the latest Revenge of the Sith, announced that this execute Order 66 would destroy all of the fighting elite or the Jedi. And that is exactly what W did. He riled up this warfare and got all of the people that were strongly patriotic and sent them off to go breathe some depleted uranium, right? So he killed off the Jedi just as Star Wars predicted, execute Order 66 or W. And so I said, W is going to be forced into office, and he will be the last American president, because the next part of the step was to bring in a non-American, because we have to do away with the Constitution. And so that was my prediction, saying after W, the legitimacy of the next candidate, natural-born status, would be questioned. Now, I have this clearly on my website where you can see that I said, you know, I had proven this long before this happened. You can see on many radio shows and everything that I've been saying this for a long time. So now that, you know, the birther movement has taken full swing, I'm in the back trying to say, look, you guys, I've been saying this was going to happen beforehand. You're being used. This is the final stage of World War III and the psychological warfare to destroy the Constitution. Because the whole point of the birther movement is to open a constitutional convention under the auspices of saving our necessary president, who says he's from Krypton and came here to save the world, but that's beyond the point, that they're going to open this constitutional convention. But what it does is actually opens the entire Constitution for revision. But now, here again, the Constitution, of course, was a Masonic document that was signed under some strange circumstances as well. If you read into Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America. So what you realize is that this was the good spell, you know, the one that called all the good people to America to build it as it was. And now you can watch as the culture creators have developed a satanic spell. So now all of our children are evil brats with, you know, satanic desires. This has all been manipulated and programmed throughout the years. And so now America is supposed to be the epitome of Satan, and this is for one giant global psychological warfare, so that when the global elite then do create their new world order, they can always refer back to the evils of America and say, look what happens when you don't have us controlling you. This is what happens to people with liberty and freedom. So we have been brought up as this shining example to then be torn down. And the idea of this birther movement is one that people should not be using and not be following. This is something I predicted 10 years ago.
It is amazing how you tie some of this stuff together. But one of the things, did you not do a trip over to Europe this early this summer and meet up with some other men that are, you know, quite scholarly in some of these avenues?
Yes, I did. I'm thinking about, you know, they had to put me on stage because of popular demand. The entire audience revolted until they were going to start petitions and everything to get me up at the AV2 conference. But yeah, I did. I went off to, and well, you see, Michael Tsarian and I are kind of in an infight right now. So he wouldn't speak to me, although we were having dinner together. And you know, this is all so stupid. I hate the infighting, and there's no point in it. And what he is saying is that I actually stole his knowledge and am using it as my own, but I had not a clue that he had even spoken on Akhenaten or any of these things until I invited him on my show to discuss them, and he's like, well, you're using all my stuff. And I'm like, no, we just happen to be following the same trail. That's why I want to talk to you. But so, yeah, I did get to meet a lot of very interesting people, and David Bellamy, who's you know, a British icon, a national treasure, they call him. But during his lecture, people started screaming, Freeman, Freeman, so I felt kind of bad for him. And Adrian Gilbert, was a very interesting meet. He was involved in the Mayan prophecies and is also talking about the connections of ancient Egypt with Sirius and Orion. So I was kind of shocked to hear that. And a lot of the free man on the land stuff was what I was really introduced there. These ideas that you can actually, and I watched it happen, use your birth certificate account to then pay your bills and pay off your loans and such. And I watched people pay off a $1,200 electricity bill using their treasury straw man.
Yeah,
so the free man on the land movement is very interesting, too, as you start to realize the falsity of money, the falsity of law. They'll teach you everything legal is unlawful and that there is no true common law anymore or land of law of the land, that we are on the maritime. So there were a lot of interesting things. I went to Triangular Lodge, where they created the gunpowder plot, and it's very symbolic and amazing. I visited this mall called the Trafford Center, which is a temple to the gods, with an Egyptian Pizza Hut and a Mayan game room, and it's all dedicated to Mithras, and was actually put on top of a ceremonial land that was run by the Orms Vikings, who were a known serpent-worshipping cult. And the land, the people that did not want this mall there, it's an atrocity, it's horrible. You can see its pictures on my MySpace. And it was actually Tony Blair that moved it through and allowed this atrocity to be built there. Liverpool, very curious, statue of the Queen with all these men bound to her with chains, and it says England expects every man to do his duty. And of course that was all surrounded by fish goddesses. If you looked at the symbolism in Liverpool, it was very much the defeat of the reptilian by the merfolk. They had all of their merfolk enshrined in crowns and sitting on thrones, and then the defeat of the serpent. Whereas in America, you'll find the same thing. You'll find very much the merfolk symbolism of our goddess, and also just in their architecture. I have many pictures of the merfolk connections to America.
And those are very old, aren't they?
Yes, yes. I actually went back to the very first town in America, St. Augustine, and started from there. I figured that'd be the best place. And I tell you, I covered Denver and Colorado Springs pretty well, too. There's some shiny stuff there, for sure.
Why don't you describe just a little bit on that one while you're at it? Since several of us were all
in Denver, well, you've got that large obelisk with the goddess holding the torch on it. So we're back to the hermaphroditic symbol of the and then to the Luciferian, because they understand the connections between Venus and Lucifer. So when you've really got to make this connection, because then it all comes clear. You see, because Venus is symbolized by a shell and a pentagram. And you could quickly realize that that's Texaco and Shell gas stations. And Venus is Lucifer. And so the symbol of this goddess holding the torch is Lucifer. Of course, you have the missile defensive shield there that was moved to Colorado Springs with NORAD, and Space Command is there. So you'll find very intriguing adventures along with Space Command. How many people know we have a United States Space Force?
Everybody's been covering this in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, right. Or they watch Stargate 1, or, you know, that's true. I'm trying to think of what. If you go down to the Denver Lodge, that's very interesting too. Where, of course, you've got your big golden blazoned double-headed eagle. Now, this is right across from the Capitol. If you just go catty corner to the Capitol, you'll see the Masonic Lodge. And then on one side of the Masonic Lodge, you'll see a large crown and cross. And this is the symbols of the Rosicrucians. And then, it's a Rosencross or a Crown and Cross. So they're both the same symbol. And then you go to the other side of the temple, and it'll have the Star of David, showing you the Kabbalistic or Hebrew roots of Freemasonry. So it's right there emblazoned on the wall of the temple there in Denver. And then, of course, you've got your obelisk and your dome and your goddess there as well. Now, the goddess is Isis, which goes back further. And this is another representation of the star Sirius, because Isis was also the star Sirius, which was represented as an obelisk, a dome, and a pentagram. So
do you often find that the lodges are located next to Capitol buildings?
Oh, absolutely, yes, in churches. And you'll always find that they have subterranean passages. But yes, absolutely, every capital you'll find a lodge.
I'd heard that about the one in Washington, D.C., but I didn't realize they were located in all the capitals like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Supreme Mother Council of the World, the Temple of the 33rd, I've been there. That place is creepy. The lady that was showing me around even said it was haunted. I was like, I'm not surprised. They got the ashes of Albert Pike in the walls there, and all of Manly P. Hall's works and many other research. But that's exactly 13 blocks from the Capitol, is the Supreme Mother Council of the of Freemasonry. They also have the flag there that Buzz Aldrin brought back from the moon with the Supreme Council seal. So So you have to realize that all of our astronauts have been Freemasons as well. There's only been two times that I noted that there were not uninitiated, when there were uninitiated that went into space. Now, that's someone who has not gone through the ritual, and this was the Challenger and the Columbia. Both had uninitiated personnel on board.
Do you think that was planned that way?
I don't know if it was ritual. I sometimes do think that was a ritual sacrifice, but that's kind of bizarre to take out your own astronauts unless there was some. But on other levels, I wonder if the uninitiated can go into space. Because you realize that these men, that's where the CIA comes from. That's where NASA and the Nazis all come from, these occult orders. And you have to be initiated. And so sometimes I think that there might be some sort of balance between the extraterrestrials and the secret societies and mystery schools. But this is all, you know, speculation, because it's all very strange. But once you start digging into this story deeper and deeper, then these are the places you're taken. You got to follow where it leads, and it constantly pans out as well. So, you know, the fact that I've been able to make these predictions and I've been able to explain and define all the corporate logos shows me that I'm on the right track. And that, as crazy as it sounds, that our president might be the clone of an ancient pharaoh, or the entire first family, for that fact, as strange as it sounds, starts to make perfect sense when you understand these guys.
Freeman, why are the wars done at a ritualistic level rather than just out and out go at it with each other or something?
Well, we believe these are sacrifices to their gods, or demons, as it were. When you are put into warfare, of course, you're covered in ritual garb with your pentagrams and, you know, all of the different symbols that you would wear, you know, even the... But then on top of that, the streets and the city plans are set up as magical sigils, again, talismans or symbols. So many of the street plans that have been designed are like Washington, D.C. That takes a lot of effort to put that type of esoteric architecture up into play. So, yes, it does. When you get down to the base roots of this, it all does seem to be feeding some sort of lower fourth density demonic force that requires blood ritual sacrifice.
But obviously, they wouldn't think it's demonic. They must, or they wouldn't think that it was. They must think it's an honor.
Yeah, though, you know, there's the pyramid scheme, and so there are levels of understanding all about, you know, down the spectrum. So when we get to that level, but you know, consider that Shock and Awe, as I was describing before, started on Walpurgis Night and ended on. It started on the vernal equinox and ended on Walpurgis Night. And this is the very time that the occultists say that the dimension veil is thin. And they made this mass sacrifice at those specific time for the Shock and Awe campaign. So we do find where we very much find that this is some sort of sacrifice as opposed to warfare.
Now, tell me if I've picked up on this correctly or not, but I mean, there seems to be a blending between the Christian and the Muslim with this particular president. And where do the Muslims come in on this?
That has been such a curious question, and I've really been looking into that. The ideas that the Muslims have about their jinn or genies or demons, and the concepts of their Dajjal or Antichrist, they are basically the opposition. You see, they always create bipolarities. You know, that's one thing you'll know, that they always create two opposing forces. So there's Russia, America, you know, always two opposing forces. That's why Barack Hussein Obama, you know, Hussein's in charge of Islam and Barack's in charge of Israel. I don't know if that's coincidence or not, but they are always fomenting these two sides like this. And so, I'm sorry, it's getting late. I got lost again.
Yeah, well, we're just about ready to wind it down anyways, and so I guess we probably do need to be coming to some closing.
Oh, the Muslims.
Time.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. So they're simply the flip side coin of, you know, because you got to have two forces to create the middle.
Okay, but was there not a Muslim brotherhood similar to the Templars or Masons?
Yes, the Assassins, which came from the Hashishim. And that would be, they actually basically shared knowledge with the Templars. Many of their occult secrets do come from the Assassins, who were Hashimi Sabah, the Hashim killer cult from, and that's where we get the term assassin as a killer. So yeah, absolutely, there was a co-force there between the Assassins and the Templars.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, like I said, it's about time to wind down here for the evening, and I guess I'll let anybody, you know, give their closing comments, and particularly you, Freeman. So what would you like to end the evening with here?
Well, on top of all of this other stuff that I've said, what I have come to recognize is that the world is miraculous, and that we have given over our power to this elite by being victims, by believing they do this to us, or believing that we are under the power, or that we have to ask their permission to be human. And it is the moment when we realize that we are divine, and that there is a divine guidance leading us forward into a beautiful future, that we will then find that future. But as long as we continue to believe the deceptions of this 666 nation and international nation, you know, then we are going to continue to fall through the trap and things are going to be miserable. It's all up to us to recognize the miraculous, synchronistic, beautiful coincidences that will come in our lives, and to follow that and understand our own true power.
Okay. William, go ahead.
I would like to have another interview on this positive aspect of who we are and what do we do to go forward, how do we educate more and more people. That's what I'm on, as an educator, to what is the positive view, what do we do to shake this off. And thanks for a beautiful 2 hours.
Thank you, William.
Well,
I'd like to remind everybody of the website. That's freemantv.com.
Absolutely.
And your radio programs are ones. Go ahead and how to get you on radio.
At Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Radio Freeman, and you can just link there from freemantv.com, and Saturdays at 8 p.m., and these are central times. So 6 p.m. Tuesdays and 8 p.m. Saturdays. Just go to freemantv.com and link straight there.
And on that Oracle Broadcasting, they do have archives of your program.
Yeah, and I'm working on the Radio Freeman podcast right now. It's going to be up very soon. I keep most of those linked in database. So there is also freemanarchives.com, where all of those shows are archived.
Oh, great, great. And this will be archived at www.givemesometruth.info and or linked from the khen.org website. And I really do want to thank all my co-hosts tonight and Freeman for a very informative evening. And I hope
it's
we can do this again.
Strange world.
What?
I say it's a strange, strange world. And I love it.
All right. It's stranger.
Okay.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Freeman.
Good night.
Good night.